This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين صلوات الله وسلامه على نبيه الكريم عليه أفضل الصلاة وأتم التسليم رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقهوا قولي. My brothers, my sisters, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. MashaAllah, tabarakAllah. Nice to see you. Alhamdulillah. As a reminder, once again, any of the sisters that want to come over into the main prayer hall, feel free to do so. You can just come through the great doors to your left and come towards the back of the main prayer hall. Today, inshaAllah ta'ala, we're going to be covering the seventh juz of the Qur'an, juz number seven of the Qur'an. And this juz, subhanAllah, comprises of Surah Al-Ma'idah. We also have Surah Al-An'am that we will go through. We'll take some lessons from both, inshaAllah, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala permits due to time. Alhamdulillah, 1 week of Ramadan is gone already, which means one quarter of the month of Ramadan has already passed. And that's just how fast it goes, right? When you think of it, it was just last Friday that we were saying we would be starting Taraweeh at night, inshaAllah ta'ala. And now, tonight is Friday, and we're going to be praying the eighth night of Taraweeh. So today is our seventh day of fasting. And this goes to show us how fast time flies and how important it is for us to sit down and really reflect. This reminds me of the day of Arafah. Some of you have gone for Hajj, right? On the day of Arafah, when you go to Arafat, how many of you have been for Hajj before? Raise your hand if you have gone for Hajj. Oh, good number of you. Alhamdulillah. Good. When you're in Arafah, there's only like 6 hours, right? From the time of Dhuhr till the time of, depends on the time of the year that you go. So a good 5 to 6 hours where you're dedicating yourself to making dua. And your entire trip from the time you initially registered to go for Hajj until that day, a lot of what you think and plan for Hajj has to do with that day right there, those 5 or 6 hours. And you think about what you're going to ask and the dua you're going to make and the things you're going to seek from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And I find it very interesting that some people end up with books, a whole book, like a binder filled of just names and requests of dua from multiple people. So many du'as. I personally don't do that. When I go for Hajj and I am standing in Arafah, the day goes so fast. The time goes so fast. When you start to think of, when I was 18, what have I done that I regret? When I was 19, what have I done? When I was 20, 21, and then you start to ask for your wealth, right? You start asking for finances and finances of your future and so on. Then you ask Allah for your health. Then you focus on your children. Then you focus on your ibadah. So you have these categories of dua that you usually make. Before you know it, the day is done. Those 5 or 6 hours are gone. And all of the planning and prepping, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, Al-Hajju Arafah. That the day of Hajj, that Hajj itself, the performing of Hajj, all of it is Arafah. As in, it all relies on the back of that day. How you're going to spend it, what you're going to do. And it goes really quick. And it's just like this month of Ramadan. When you think of it, one quarter of the month of Ramadan has gone already. Have I even given charity? Have I finished the amount of Quran that I expected to finish? Have I reached out to the people that I said I was going to reach out to? Have I attended the amount of classes or lectures that I thought I may have attended? Now, obviously, we're not all doing all of these things, but I'm just using these as examples that some of us may have said, I'm going to continue on because I have to work, I have to go to school, we have exams, university students, and so on. There's lots of things that are happening, but we want to add one or two things here and there. But the thing is, Ramadan came and is passing, and we're not really establishing ourselves in the ways that we thought we would. So a reminder for myself first, and then for all of you. Remember that just as fast as the first 7 days have passed, the next 3 weeks will pass as well. And then it will be the day of Eid, and you wouldn't even realize that the month of Ramadan happened. And we'll be like, what happened? We don't remember today sitting here. We don't remember the first day sitting here. We just don't remember it. It's just, it's gone. And we're just enjoying, you know, the food and the company that we're with. So my brothers and sisters, think of it, especially now, like from now until Maghrib, you know, it's Friday. It's a day when du'a is accepted, you're fasting. A time when your du'a is accepted, you're hungry. Another time when your du'a is accepted, right? You know, asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala just before Maghrib today, and there's going to be, inshallah, a lot of people here, just zone out. Zone out. Forget all the people. Sit and ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give you the tawfiq, give you the ability to do the things that you intended to do. And ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept from your intentions of the things that you wanted to do. And I always say this is one of the most beautiful things about our deen, is the fact that Allah rewards us based on our intentions. Because if He didn't, man, we would really like be in a bad state, real bad condition. But alhamdulillah, we intend to do good, and we get caught up with other things, but Allah rewards us for our intentions, right? And then actions that we actually do are based on our intentions as well. So if we intended good and we did it, and you know, we tried our best, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows, and you know, you get rewarded for that. Alhamdulillah. So we need to make sure that as Muslims we don't fall short. And it is a reminder, like I said, for myself first, 1/4 of the month of Ramadan is finished. SubhanAllah. So we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make it easy for us to continue pushing forward as strong as possible. Ameen. Today we start off looking at verse number 77 of Surah Al-Ma'idah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم قل يا أهل الكتاب لا تغلوا في دينكم غير الحق ولا تتبعوا أهواء قوم قد ضلوا من قبل وأضلوا كثيرا وضلوا عن سواء السبيل. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling the people of the book, very interesting. Allah is saying to the people of the book, who are the people of the book? Who are Ahlul Kitab? Good, the Christians and the Jewish. O people of the book, do not go to extremes in your faith beyond the truth. لا تغلو في دينكم غير الحق. Do not go to extremes. غلو is going to an extreme. So if you're going to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through dhikr, and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would do dhikr, but you say, I'm just going to do dhikr day and night, and just dhikr, and you do nothing else. No Quran, no salah, nothing. That's ghulu. That's like going to another extreme. Ghulu is basically an extreme in anything, right? Going to a limit and beyond. So sometimes ghulu is also in our ibadah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, going to excessive amounts, right? And that can also include worshipping other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and at times worshipping the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That is not permissible in our deen. As much as we love Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as much as we've been taught and trained and raised to follow him, and we do not worship Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We follow his way. We follow the way of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling the Jewish and the Christians, don't go to extremes in your faith beyond the truth, nor follow the vain desires of those who went astray before you. They misled many and strayed far from the right way. So Allah is telling the Jewish and the Christians that you should follow what is true and right. Why? Is he telling them to follow Islam? What is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saying here? لا تغلو في دينكم غير الحق. Do not go to extremes in your faith beyond the truth. Yes.
He's telling the Jewish and Christian not to edit it too much, because you know the Christians edited their Bible and then they just add stuff. So he said not to do it as far as the previous people who have been destroyed.
Okay. Anyone else? Anyone want to add to what he said? Because he's right on.
Jesus, the Son of God.
Okay, good. So they went to an extreme, took Isa alayhi salam, Jesus, as the Son of God, or the Father, or the Holy Spirit. Anyone else? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling them, just follow what your scripture says. If you were to follow what was revealed to you, then you would be Muslim. If they were to follow what really was revealed to them, then in their scriptures, they would know that they're supposed to follow Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam when he comes. That you follow the last and final messenger. And so Allah is telling them, follow what your book says. Just follow it. Follow the truth. Don't follow what was changed and fabricated. And we know during the time of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the Jewish, they would come with the Torah, right? And they would cover it up. They would cover parts of it and ask him, oh Muhammad, so-and-so thing happened. Can you tell us what to do? But judge us or give a judgment based on the Torah, not based on your Quran. And they would come and bring the Torah, but they would cover up parts of it because they don't want, they know that in it, it tells the truth. So they would cover that up. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling them, don't go to an extreme. Don't do this. Don't change, as he was saying, don't change the truth. The truth is the truth, and it's written there. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, don't go to extremes in your faith beyond the truth. What Allah says, do. You want to do something else, but no, you're not allowed to. And the same applies to us as Muslims. How many times have we seen, like I lived in Medina for 7.5 years, so many times I saw people go to the grave of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and make sajda towards the grave of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with the rush of people walking through, and go down and make sajda, and then, you know, the security's like, no, get up, you have to get up, you can't do this. The qibla is behind them, but they're facing the grave. Or on the roof, I remember when the months when the weather was cool and the roof was open, people would go on the roof and they're standing facing the green dome. The qibla is, let's say, this way, and the green dome is that way, right? From the side of the roof that they're on. And they're facing the roof, they're facing the green dome, and they're praying and doing things towards the grave of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Yes, as Muslims, we're not allowed to do that. So we don't go above and beyond. But people say, I'm doing this out of my love for Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. No, Allah doesn't want you to do that. Allah doesn't want us to go above and beyond what He told us to do. That's what we do, khalas, that's what we do. For example, we pray 5 times a day. Someone says, I want to pray it was originally revealed 50 times a day. No, you don't have to do that. And you're not allowed to do that because we pray 5 times a day. That's what ultimately in the end was written for us, 5 times a day. But someone says, no. The original thing was 50. Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, for whatever reason, and people come up with these real strange statements, and I don't even want to say them, you know, because it's just not respectful. Saying things like, oh, you know, maybe he was weak, but I can do it. No. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was sent as mercy. وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ إِلَّا رَحْمَةً لِلْعَالَمِينَ. Mercy for all of us, every single one of humanity. He knows, and he was sent not only as mercy, but وَمَا يَنْطِقُ عَنِ الْهَوَىٰ إِنْ هُوَ إِلَّا وَحْيُّ يُوحَىٰ. Whatever the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, you know, did his actions, this is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It was Allah's plan designing this deen. And so someone comes and says, I want to pray 50 times a day, or 2 fajr instead of, you know, 2 rak'ah, pray 4. No, you don't have to. 2 is sufficient, that's what Allah wants. Now go about your day. Go and earn, right? Go and provide for your family. Go and educate yourself. Go and do your adhkar. Go and sit and ponder. Go and do something else. But now your time for salah is done. And so the same applies to us. Even though Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we see this in the example of the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, where he warns us about going to extremes, and again uses this word, ghulu. Let's skip to verse number 82, insha'Allah ta'ala. Verse number 82 of Surah Al-Ma'idah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, لَتَجِدَنَّ أَشَدَّ النَّاسِ عَدَاوَةً لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا الْيَهُودَ وَالَّذِينَ أَشْرَكُوا وَلَتَجِدَنَّ أَقْرَبَهُمْ مَوَدَّةً لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا الَّذِينَ قَالُوا إِنَّا نَصَارَى ذَلِكَ بِأَنَّ مِنْهُمْ قِسِّيسِينَ رُهْبَانًا وَأَنَّهُمْ لَا يَسْتَكْبِرُونَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, you will surely find the most bitter, people. Sarud, you're smiling because I'm doing this verse. I contemplated as to whether I would cover this verse tonight, but it is the book of Allah. These are the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's not the words of any of us. We follow what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and Allah is saying something to us. So he says, لَتَجِدَنَّ أَشَدَّ النَّاسِ عَدَاوَةً لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا الْيَهُودِ وَالَّذِينَ أَشْرَكُوا. Allah says, you will surely find that the most bitter people towards the believers will be the Jewish and the polytheists, as in those who worship idols or worship anything other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the most gracious to be those who call themselves Christians. Why? He says, ذَلِكَ بِأَنَّ مِنْهُمْ قِسِّيسِينَ. That is because among them, among the Christians, there are priests and monks, and among them, there are priests and monks among them, and because they are not arrogant. Now, if you just look, take a step back and look at the world today. I don't even need to tell you anything more. Take a step back and look at the world today. Look at how things are being done. Look at how things are being run. Look at how, you know, Muslims can be squeezed and oppressed left, right, and center. And no one will say anything. But the moment someone else is harmed, the whole world is jumping up and down, screaming, yelling, advertising, raising funds, going and doing this and that. And it's like, whoa, what just happened? So we don't need to even explain further. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us this. But at the same time, remember that we are not supposed to just walk around and say, everyone is my enemy. We are here sent to take people from dhulumat in an-nur, to help guide them with the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from the ways that they live currently to the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is a way that we submit to as well, not a way that we've designed. So it's not us who are designing the way things are done. Allah is the one. And Allah is the creator of everyone. The Muslims, the Jewish, the Christians, and every other faith that may be out there, and every non-faith that is out there as well, right? And so this is important for us to ponder and reflect over. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, in the next verse, and I'll just go through the English to save time, inshallah. When they listen to what has been revealed to the messenger, you see their eyes overflowing with tears and recognizing the truth. Who is Allah talking about? Not the Jews and the Christians. The priests, the monks, the religious people from amongst the Christians, right? You find their eyes overflowing with tears for recognizing the truth. And they say, our Lord, we believe, so count us among the witnesses. If I was to ask you, how many of you know someone who is Christian that became Muslim? Right? How many of you know a Jewish person that's become Christian, that's become Muslim? Did I say Christian became Muslim before? Okay, good. So, how many of you know a Jewish person that's become Muslim? Not many, though, right? When you talk to people about Islam, do you feel that the Jewish are more receptive and they accept what you're saying and they're more, you know, they're comfortable talking to you about it? We're not trying to, like, create friction, just general. Like, you're at work, you're at school, you talk to people, someone who's Jewish, you talk to them about Islam. Do you find that they're receptive, or do you find that the Christian is more understanding and, you know, more interested in finding out? Christian, there you go. Like, Allah is the one who created us. Allah is the one who designed this, right? Like, we find that there are Jewish who become Muslim. There are. But even though the Jewish are so small in number, now some people will say, okay, but that's not a fair comparison because so less amount of Jewish than there are of Christian. And then Christianity, so many different denominations amongst it. Okay, fine, fair enough. But Christian or Jewish? All right, good. So we find that it is easier for us to speak to someone who's Christian about religion at times than it is to speak to someone who's Jewish. But what if I told you that I feel it's easier to speak to Jewish, but we as Muslims sometimes don't come out of our comfort zones? Because the Jewish, a good part of them are really holding on to their faith, what they believe in, right? Like they eat kosher foods and they don't consume what they're not supposed to, or at times when they're not supposed to eat, and you know, stuff like that. But Jewish, the Christians, you'll find, and I'm sure if I ask Muslims, like, what do you think about Christians? They're like, oh, they don't really believe. The churches are abandoned. And no, but there still are Christians. The numbers are large, but there still are some that believe. And that's because sometimes we don't come out of our comfort zone. We don't approach others. We don't go and talk to them about Islam. Or we don't ask them about their faith. We don't ask them questions like, why do you wear this? Why do you eat that? Where are you going right now? How come you can't do work on Saturday? What is this about? You know, sometimes we're scared to ask. And a lot of the time, the problem is us. So we don't come out of our comfort zone. And because we find that the Christians of Christians have become more like laxed and relaxed with their faith and with life in general, they've become more liberal, we could say, that, you know, it's just a lot easier to talk to them and approach them. So we have to be the ones that take that step first, right? We're not here to judge or to create friction or say anything about this group or that group, just looking at what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says and then reflect upon your life. Now we do find that Christians become Muslim a lot faster and easier. And a lot of the time that's because of their either faith, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, that they do believe and they're looking for something, right? And they're not as stubborn in that sense. Like they're looking, they're searching, and yes, okay, this seems like the truth, we're gonna take it, embrace it. And at the same time, we find some people who say they're Christian and there's nothing about Christianity in their lives, like nothing. It's just Christian, yeah, because our parents raised us this way, or because they wear a cross on their neck, and that's it. And so the moment you just say something about Islam to them, or you speak about Surah Maryam and Mary, and you say, hey, you know that there's a chapter in the Quran called Maryam, Mary? They're like, really? They're all interested, like, can I read it? Can I have a copy? You never really find other faiths, people of other faith doing that. Like, so interested in reading what's in the Quran. And that's a lot of the time because they're looking for something. And as human beings, we need to have some faith. There has to be something that grounds us. That default mode, that fitrah that we were born upon, is instilled within every single one of us, every single human being. And the fitrah is that there is one true God to be worshipped. And so anytime human beings sway away from that fitrah, that natural way of human beings, they start to feel lonely and lost. And they want something else. And this is where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brings us back to the right way through understanding the Quran and understanding that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one true God to be worshipped. I'm going to fast forward, inshallah ta'ala. Okay, we'll go to verse number 89. I said I was going to fast forward, and that meant just leave that topic and go to another one. Verse number 89. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, لا يؤاخذكم الله باللغو في أيمانكم ولكن يؤاخذكم بما عقدتم الأيمان فكفارته إطعام عشرة مساكين من أوسط ما تطعمون أهليكم أو كسوتهم أو تحرير رقبة فمن لم يجد فصيام ثلاثة أيام ذلك كفارة أيمانكم إذا حلفتم واحفظوا أيمانكم كذلك يبين الله لكم آياته لعلكم تشكرون. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is talking about كفارة اليمين. What does it mean in Arabic when we say يمين? What is يمين? Huh? Right. You're right. But yameen is taking an oath. You know, when you say, wallahi, I'm going to do this today. Wallahi, I'm going to the masjid. Or wallahi, tallahi, billahi, but you take an oath by Allah. I swear by Allah. When someone swears by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they take an oath, they have to do it. They have to fulfill that oath. And if they don't fulfill the oath, then there's a kafara. There's something that needs to be done as recompense for breaking that oath. What is that? Allah says it in this verse, verse number 89 of Surah Al-Ma'idah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Allah will not call you to account for the thoughtless oaths. You know, when you're just like, let's go to the store. Wallah. Like, what do you mean, wallah? Why do you have to swear by Allah? How many of you have had the Arab friend who's like saying wallah every 5 seconds? I know when I was living in Medina, it was like, wallah, wallah, like, wallah, where are we going? Wallah, abha shawarma. Okay, you don't have to swear by Allah that you want shawarma. Like, okay, we'll get shawarma, right? Alhamdulillah, like, this is common. That is free flowing off the tongue. That's different. Allah's not referring to that. That is like common lingo, language of the people that spoke in. Okay? They're basically always thinking of Allah that they say wallah for everything. Okay? That's not what Allah is referring to here. Allah is referring to someone saying like, I want a shawarma. No, I'm not taking you to that place. We're going to go over here and we're just going to get mint tea. Wallahi, I want to have shawarma. Like, wallahi, you said you were having shawarma. You know, then now they're serious. Okay? Now this person who's taking this oath by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if they are not going to fulfill that oath, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says He will hold you accountable for deliberate oaths. When you make this oath and break it deliberately. The penalty for a broken oath, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَكَفَّارَتُهُ إِطْحَامُ عَشَرَةِ مَسَاكِينَ. The penalty for a broken oath is to feed 10 poor people. Poor people. Not iftar at ICCM. Or any masjid really in the GTA. Poor people. Now there may be from amongst us people who are needy. There may be. And remember, we learned this, I think, on the second day, that you might see someone who you don't think is in need. They have a car, they have a home, they have, you know, their family, they have food and stuff, but they're in need. They're still in need. Here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is showing us like someone who's really poor, someone who's poor. Feed someone who's poor, 10 people. That's the first thing. The penalty for broken oath, 10 poor people from what you normally feed your family. Oh, subhanAllah. Now it's not just 10 people at ICCM for $6. It's 10 poor people. So I need to find poor people, someone who's in need. And it has to be the food that I would feed my family. Not like, oh, I'm just going to pick up something, you know, cheap here, $4, $3, and here, go and eat it, and khalas, I fulfilled it. No, no. When you go out to eat and you take your family out, or when you prepare meals at home, the cost that goes into it, the time, the energy, preparing it, looking after it, you know, keeping it fresh, feeding it, putting down, set up, all of that, you better do that for someone who's poor as well. Right? So sometimes people come and they're like, oh, you know, I need to like do kafaratul yameen. Can I just pay it here? Or, you know, I can't fast, so I'm going to just feed people. No, you have to feed people that are in need. You have to feed people that are in need. I'm not in need. I have food in my fridge right now. So if you're feeding me, I'm not in need. I don't know about you. So we have to really keep that in mind. Break an oath, need to feed 10 people you need, you would feed yourself. So if you go out and you're a family, let's say 5, and it costs $100 to eat, well, if you feed people, $200 on that. Right? He says, instead of feeding the 10 people, or clothe those 10 people. Clothe them. Get them clothing. Clothing that you wear, right? If it's the Armani, then you get the Gucci in the Armani, right? If it's the Tommy, if it's Gap, you get the Gap. From what you would wear. Not, oh, let me just go and see what's over. Okay, you know, there's this pants, let me get that. These socks, well, I don't like them anymore. Or they're starting to fade away. No, no, no. You're going to clothe 10 people in the clothing that you would wear for yourself. And if you wear socks that are worn and out of them, okay, fine. That's what you wear. But the majority of the people in the day, they're not wearing these, especially when they're going out in public at home, but not when we're going out. Or if you take an oath by Allah and don't fulfill it, you break that oath, freeing a slave. And we don't have slaves. It's here in Canada, right? It's debated in other places, other parts of the world, but here we don't. But think of the and how difficult, how challenging it is or was at the time of the Prophet to free a slave. And we say it that Abu Bakr used to do that weekly. He would free a slave. Every single Jum'ah, Abu Bakr used to free a slave. Every Jum'ah. But think of, subhanAllah, the wealth that these people had. But if you break an oath, you have to. So either we're going to feed 10 people who are in need, the foods that we would feed our family, or we're going to clothe those 10 people, or we're going to free a slave, or Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَمَنْ لَمْ يَجِدْ فَصِيَامُ ثَلَاثَةِ أَيَّامٍ فَمَنْ لَمْ يَجِدْ. Allah says, if you are unable to afford, then fast for 3 days. Like if you're unable to afford doing the three things that Allah just mentioned. You see, I just confused all of you. Because we were raised, taught, that if you say wallahi and you break it, then you have to fast for 3 days, right? Was anyone here taught that? Yes, that's what we were taught. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala starts with something else first. Don't just jump to fasting 3 days. No, no, no. That's too easy for you. Start by finding people that are in need. Now you're going to either feed them or clothe them. 10 people. And then if you're unable to find people and feed or clothe them, then free a slave. And if you're unable to find that, then you can fast. But if you're able to find 10 people and you can feed them or clothe them, then you should do that. Now, would we ever say wallahi and break that oath again? No. Right? A person would be like, ooh, this is hard work. SubhanAllah, I'm not going to do that. See, this is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is designing it and showing it to us this way. Like, don't just think the deen is easy. Remember the other night I was saying, أَمْ حَسِبْتُمْ أَن تَدْخُلُوا الْجَنَّةِ وَلَمَّا يَأْتِكُمْ مَثَلُ الَّذِينَ خَلَوْا مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ. Do you think you're going to enter paradise and the tests, the challenge, the hardships of the people of the past have not even touched you? It hasn't. Like when you think of, alhamdulillah, we're sitting, look at where we're sitting. They would sit in the masjid because life was so hard sometimes. And it was like they didn't even have a home to go to. Ahlul Sufa, they stayed in the masjid. They didn't have food to eat. They didn't have clothing. They didn't have a place to go to that they called home. Look at us. We come to the masjid as a luxury. Alhamdulillah. We sit down, we enjoy it. We have beautiful nur coming down on us. Right? We have fresh paint. We have a carpet that needs to be changed, but still is very comfortable, right? Alhamdulillah. Like, we're blessed. Big time blessed. When it's cold, the heating, we turn it up. When it's hot, the fans, the AC, we turn it on. Like, we're so blessed. Alhamdulillah. Sahaba radiallahu anhum, when you think of them, like, the struggle is real. And now imagine them going and finding 10 people. Some of them are saying, yeah, Allah, I don't even have for myself. Okay, for you, you fast for 3 days. You go and you fast 3 days. Because you can't even afford to feed yourself. So it's actually a good thing. You know, don't do that. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us. Ameen. Verse number 90. It's been 34 minutes. I'll just go through a couple of things here. Verse number 90, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا إِنَّمَا الْخَمْرُ وَالْمَيْسِرُ وَالْأَنصَابُ وَالْأَزْلَامُ رِجْسٌ مِّنْ عَمَلِ الشَّيْطَانِ فَاجْتَنِبُوهُ لَعَلَّكُمْ تُفْلِحُونَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, O believers, O you who believe, إنما الخمر والميسر intoxicants, gambling, idols, and drawing lots to decide between things using chance, right? Just rolling the dice. Okay, if it's a six, I'm going to do this. Is it? No, no. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying all of these are from the handiwork of shaitan. This is how not permissible. He says, فَاجْتَنِبُوهُ لَعَلَّكُمْ تُفْلِحُونَ. So shun them off. Like, don't go near them. Completely cut them out of your life so that you may be successful. Now, I wanted to say this because I know, alhamdulillah, you know, as Muslims look at it, go, alhamdulillah, we don't gamble, we don't worship idols, we don't drink alcohol, you know, we don't do these things, we do, you know, we don't play these games and stuff like that. But the reality is, my brothers and sisters, this does exist in our community. This does exist in our community. I know community members who, some of them were here for Jum'ah today, but they will not fast during the month of Ramadan. Say, ah, fasting, that's something that's ancient. We don't need to do that. And their kids fast. And the wife is fasting. But the father is like, forget that, you don't need it. I know some families, the mother brings the children to the masjid every single night for Isha and Taraweeh. And the husband is sitting at home going, you guys are wasting your time, you don't need to do that. Just sitting in front of the TV. They come to the masjid, he doesn't care, doesn't pray, don't pray. And even worse, on top of these things, adding to it, not even worse, but adding to it, drinking alcohol. A few years ago, I told that, you know what, in Milton, there's nothing fun to do. What do people do? And I started to think, what do people do that's fun in Milton? There's not like amusement parks here. There's not even a shopping mall to go and chill at, right? Like, I used to live in Mississauga. You see all the youth, they go to Square One. They're like, yes, we're out of school. We're not going home. We're walking around Square One, right? The mall. Over here, Milton Mall's a joke. People who live in Milton don't even want to say there's a mall here. They're like, no, there's no mall. Like, no, there is a mall. No, there isn't. Please spare us the embarrassment. You know, like, no. Okay, so if that's the case, what do people do in Milton for fun? I remember 3-4 years ago, I was sitting over there, and I was like, what do people do? Are you trying to tell me teenagers in hiking? Oh, we got all this green belt stuff going on. Let's go hiking. Oh, look at the water. Ooh, right? I don't think teenagers really, like, yes, it's nice, it's pleasing, but I think they want to do something else. And I hate to say this, but drugs were big time on the rise then, and they're even more on the rise now in Milton, in Halton, in the region in general. You don't believe me? Go ask the police. Just go walk into the headquarters and ask them, say, do we have a drug problem here? Yeah. And in addition to that, alcohol. So many of the believing men, and I say that because they say, yeah, I'm Muslim, and sometimes they pray. But they drink alcohol. And some of their kids, the wife comes and tells, some of their kids come to my office. They say, my dad drinks alcohol. We don't like it when he gets drunk. So my mom tells him, you stay in the garage or you stay in it. If you want to drink for the whole day, you stay there, you sleep there, don't come upstairs. You're scaring the kids. These are our Muslim brothers here in Milton. We have a problem. We have a problem. And we need to solve this problem. We need to help one another. And it might be, I don't know, building a bigger shopping mall. I don't know. But we need to figure it out. And we need to start by helping those that do drink and those that are taking drugs. I know brothers, and I'm saying this in the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I know brothers who have sat with me in my office who come and they're regulars here. Who've done cocaine. When you think of it like, no, come on, you're pulling out like, no, I'm serious. And they were here praying with us. And they come regularly. They're just bored. So they tried cocaine. And they tried, you know, marijuana. And they tried this and tried that. These are parents. I'm not talking about the children. I'm talking about the parents. So my brothers and sisters, we need to wake up. Like, we really, really need to wake up. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us is from the evils of shaitan. And what happens is the drugs, the alcohol, it leads to the worst of the worst. It leads to the worst of the worst. Every week or every 2 weeks, I get an update or a tweet from, you know, Halton Regional Police. You can see their tweets, right? If you follow them on Twitter, they say, okay, these are the people who are arrested for driving under the influence. Driving under the influence doesn't only, it's not only alcohol nowadays, it looks right. So there was, you know, high or stone. Go look at the name. They also put out a tweet, and then you can click on it, takes you to the link, and you can shoplift it. Or look at a picture shoplifting, and the LCBOs, all at the, you know, the beer stores. Most of the robberies are, you know, alcohol shops. But look at the names. These are Muslim brothers and sisters. Don't think the sisters, just because as I mentioned brothers, the sisters, we've got issues with our sisters as well. And it's time that we, like, really take a step back, slow down, think, what are we doing? How can we fix this? How can we change this? And I love what, you know, Maz said the other day, yesterday he came and you're telling us these things, like, how can we help? Like, we're young adults, we want to do something. I can't do everything. The masjid itself, or any masjid, can't do everything. But it's young minds, these youngsters, who their brains work very fast and fresh, who can come up with ideas and systems that will work. We need to empower them, support them, motivate them, get them together, tell them, hey, look, this is your future. You guys are going to have to deal with this in 20 years. We're going to be retired and kicking back and being like, hey, it's your problem. We warned you. We told you. But we need to empower them and help them and get these systems in place. Because our children are with serious problems. And if it's just in the 5 years that we're seeing such drastic changes, with regards to, like, marijuana consumption alone, what's happening? What's happening? So my brothers and sisters, we have to really take the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala seriously, hold it to heart, and know that if Allah says something is from shaitan and something is evil and bad for you and dangerous for the rest of society, it is, we submit to it, and we don't do it. And we encourage others to come away from it. And we show them some love, show them some respect, show them how to, you know, come out of it. And we make lots of dua, lots and lots of dua. Wake up in the middle of the night and make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Children, they're the ones that are going to face a lot of things that we didn't even imagine would happen. That's all for today, inshallah. Jazakumullahu khairan. Wa sallallahu sallam wa baraka nabiyyina Muhammad. We will send him. And as a reminder, once again, it is Friday. You know, use this time in dua for forgiveness for the brothers and sisters that are sitting here as well. Make dua for them. You know, you are from the people who are in the masjid on the day of fasting instead of at home sleeping, right? You're making that sacrifice. Remember these brothers and sisters. It would be nice if we were gathered together on the day of judgment before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We could be witnesses for each other, right? May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us friends in paradise. Ameen. Jazakumullahu khairan. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.